Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And I'm going to continue on this series that started back in March, and just one thing after another. The series kind of got broken up, and that's all right. Sometimes that's actually the best way to do a series, not do it week after week. But we're going to come back to it on the words from the cross that Jesus spoke. There were seven things that Jesus said from the cross that we find great significance in. And especially, you know, that in families that if somebody is dying or they are on their deathbed, a lot of times the family will come around, and one of the things they often look for is, what were the words spoken by that person before they passed away? What were their last words? The wonderful thing about this is that these were not the last words of Jesus, because we know he rose from the grave. So he had a whole lot more to say after he rose. But the things that he said while he was dying are very significant. And the one that I want to talk to you today about is one that we often, as we look at it, we are puzzled. Theologians are puzzled by what it is that Jesus said. And at least we sort of get our heads around it a little bit of what was going on in his heart. And yet there is a certain element of it that is difficult for us to understand, because the one thing we remember about Jesus is he was the spotless, holy, perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God. And the thing that he spoke almost defies comprehension when we understand how close he was to the Father. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It says this: about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This would not have near the significance if David had said it, if Peter had said it, if Abraham had said it, if one of the great patriarchs of the faith had spoken these words, this would not carry near as much weight and have nearly as much significance as when Jesus said it. Remembering that the closeness that Jesus had with his Father, with the Father, was something that many people still are trying to fully comprehend, though Scripture reveals to us what it was that Jesus said. From time to time, Jesus would say, "I and my Father are one." He would talk about how he communed with the Father. He would speak about how the Holy Spirit would come and minister to him, but also how he would commune with the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity. And they were interrelated, intertwined in a very deep and intense and mystifying kind of relationship. And now all of a sudden, as he is dying on the cross, he's not dying on the cross for nothing. He's not there because he wanted to just somehow die a martyr's death to make a statement. Most of us see today, anybody who dies a martyr's death, they are trying to make a statement, but nothing more is accomplished from that death than simply their cause or their effort, whatever it might be. But Jesus is dying on the cross for our sins. And this, I believe, in this moment, something began to happen in him that caused him to begin to sense what you and I sensed before we came to Christ: a separation from God. That's what sin does. Sin will always separate you from God. It will always bring, whether you have been a Christian a long time and you begin to give in to sin, all of a sudden there is this separation that you begin to feel, this sense in which you feel as though you're just not where you should be with God, and you feel this intense longing, this intense, there's got to be something more. There's got to be somebody who is doing something that can help me. There has to be a change that will come. Jesus cried out these words, and today I want to talk to you about the subject of abandonment. Abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? There are a couple of things that we want to focus on today, and the first one has to do with this. What it is that we actually can understand about what Jesus went through and experienced when he spoke these words. How it is that Jesus was able to do something in this moment that you and I can identify with. What it is that he was going through in that moment. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, abandonment is one of the most difficult things in life for you and I to ever have to deal with. There has been a point at some point or another in your life you have felt abandoned. You have felt forsaken. Maybe somebody was supposed to do something for you, or they were supposed to be there for you. They claimed that they would love you always. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a father who early on was there, but all of a sudden decided one day that it wasn't worth it anymore, and he walked out on you and walked out on mom. Maybe it was that you had a husband who you thought was going to be there for you, and all of a sudden now he's not there anymore. He's gone. You feel abandoned. Maybe you had a friend who you were thick as thieves. Pardon the expression of what we just went through as a church, but you were thick as thieves. You stuck together. And you thought, this is my friend for life. And all of a sudden, something went south. There was a falling out of some kind. There was something that happened in your relationship. And then all of a sudden, you were abandoned and you were left feeling empty on the inside, feeling like, who can I trust in the world? Where can I go if my closest friends, if my closest confidants give up on me? Then what can I do? We have all at some point or another felt abandoned. Jesus in that moment felt this incredible sense of abandonment by the Father. Theologically, it gets more murky and difficult to understand. But on a human relationship level, it's very easy to understand. We've all been there. We've all experienced that. We've all come to a place where we recognize that there are times in life that people just give up, and they give up on us. They give up on things. Maybe you've been the abandoner. I don't know. Maybe we could flip it around and say maybe you've been the one to run away. Maybe you have been that one to seemingly put everything behind you. And then there is this incredible sense of guilt of what it is that you have done in the past. And you wish that you could go back and undo it, and you could change it, and you could fix it. And somewhere along the way, you get this idea that maybe it'll work, but it doesn't. Abandonment is a horrible experience in life. It is one of the most difficult things to handle. But today, can I tell you, you say, Pastor, you can't really relate to what I'm going through. You can't really, really understand what it is that I feel about being abandoned and how it is that you can't relate to it. And I got to tell you, I think you're probably right. But there is somebody who knows exactly what it feels like. In fact, he feels it more than you have ever felt it. He went through it more than you have ever felt it and gone through it. He is the only one that we can identify with, and he can identify with us. And his name is Jesus. You want somebody to identify with? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your closest friend. Because haven't there been times in life where your friends have looked at you and said, yeah, I don't really understand. Yeah, I can't really identify with that. Haven't been through that. You know, they try to say things that, you know, make you feel like they're right there with you. And maybe they're the kind of friend, they'll stick close to you. It doesn't matter what you're going through, but they don't fully comprehend. I got to tell you, Jesus fully comprehends what you've been through. He fully comprehends how you've been abandoned and how you feel and what goes on the inside and how it has impacted your life up to this time and how it is that you make decisions based on how you were abandoned. We make decisions based on some things that have happened in the past. Maybe we do this as a result of that. And maybe we wouldn't have had we not felt that sense of abandonment. But I got to tell you, Jesus, brothers and sisters, he knows how it feels. He knows exactly how you feel today. And maybe today you feel like, you know, I'm still abandoned. Maybe some of you still feel that way. The hole hasn't been filled. The pain hasn't subsided. Maybe it is that somewhere along the way, you've gone from pain to just numbness. Just don't feel, don't care. That's one of the tragic things about not bringing our pain to Jesus. Not bringing our problems to the Lord. Because when we don't do that, we try to deal with it in ourselves, and the only thing that can happen is we either get really incredibly angry and bitter in life, or we just get apathetic. We just don't care about anything or anybody. And we walk around with a chip on our shoulder as if somebody has to somehow impress you. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today that what God has done for you is he has put his son in a place where his son can absolutely identify with where you are at today. He put him in the position. And you know what the wonderful thing about Jesus is? Is Jesus didn't go kicking and screaming to the cross. He said, I laid down my life. I laid down. It was my choice. I did this. I put myself in this position. And yes, he might have prayed that last prayer that says, Father, if it's your will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But you know what? It didn't. And so, Lord, I'm going to go willingly. Father, I'm going to go willingly to the cross. I'm going to go there. I know what's coming. I know how this is going to impact the world. I know what's going to happen. There will be a sacrifice for sins that will not need another sacrifice after that. He died, the Bible says, once for all. There is no more need for sacrifice of sin. There is no more need. Nobody else needs to die. Nobody else has to go to a martyr's death to somehow atone for the sins that you and I have committed. But because Jesus did it once for all, brothers and sisters, he knows exactly what you're going through today. Maybe you have been abandoned by your employer. Maybe your job got cut off. Maybe they walked in as they did with Choli. Choli's downstairs, but Choli, a couple of years ago, walked into the entire department at 3:30 in the afternoon. Their log-off time, their getting off work time was 4:30. That moment, they walked in with all kinds of boxes, told the entire department, clean out your desks. This is your last day. We can't give you anything. We can't give you severance pay. We can't give you... I don't know if she got a little bit, but there was nothing. They said, we're shutting down the entire department. In that moment, lost a job. You're abandoned. You feel hopeless. You feel like, is there anybody who really can really understand and comprehend what it is that I feel today and that I'm going through today? Can anybody really identify with me? I had a gentleman tell me a little while ago that I couldn't really identify with him, what it is that he was going through, because I didn't grow up in the city, and I wasn't a gangbanger, and I didn't do any of these things. I wasn't addicted to drugs, and I said, you know, you're right. I didn't do any of these things. I grew up in the country. I said, at this point, from our conversation, it sounds like the only person I can really identify is a country preacher's kid growing up in northern Maine, from where we're going with this. But it's not about me identifying with you. It's about Jesus identifying with you. If it's about a man or a woman or your friend or your neighbor or somebody around you, then you're missing the point. It's all about Jesus, folks. When we open the book, it's not about whether I can identify with you or you can identify with me. I got to tell you, it's about what Jesus has done for us. And Jesus has done great and mighty things for each and every one of us. He can identify with what you're going through today. If you feel abandoned, I got to tell you, don't give up hope, because there is one who can speak peace, and he can fill the void. He can fill the emptiness that's on the inside of you. You don't ever have to feel as though everybody around you has given up on you. Jesus will never give up on you. He will never abandon you, but he has certainly felt how it feels to be abandoned. It's an incredible thing. There are times in our lives we feel spiritually dead. We feel as though God seems so far away. We can identify with that. He felt this separation from the Father, that to him as the Son of God, he had never, ever sensed before. And it seems that in this moment, this was the moment where it seems like all the sin of the world was heaped upon him. Paul writes in Corinthians that he who knew no sin became sin, or was made sin for us, so that we might be the righteousness of God. I think this was the moment where that verse of Scripture was actually coming true, where we see it playing out, that in that moment he who was sinless had the entire weight of the sin of the whole world heaped upon him as the spotless, holy, perfect Son of the living God. You can imagine in that moment what he was feeling. And yet in that moment you might feel that there are times in your lives you feel like God has abandoned you. Maybe you feel like God hasn't come through for you. You feel as though somehow there is a separation. I've been praying for something for so long, and I've been praying and praying and praying, and yet somehow I don't see an answer. So surely, God, you've given up on me. We don't know how long Job's sufferings lasted, really. We know it was a period of time where Job and his so-called friends were trying to figure it all out and hash it all out, why it is that he's going through some of these things. These guys were, you know, they were jokers. They were coming along. Well, obviously it's sin. God doesn't do this to righteous people. This doesn't happen to the godly. This happens to sinners. So Job, clearly you're a sinner. But we don't know how long it occurred. We just know that there was a period of time that he had to try to wonder, and he was trying to figure out what's going on. Why do I feel so abandoned by God? And Job said, I know my heart. I know I haven't sinned against God. Job, the Bible tells us, was a righteous man. And yet this period of time elapsed. No answer from heaven. No anything going on. You imagine Joseph in Egypt? How long it was that Joseph was there, and Joseph being thrown in prison, left for 2 years. His brothers had sold him into slavery, into Egypt. He's down in Egypt, and he's, what in the world's going on? We don't see any audible answer. We don't see anything coming from heaven saying, Joseph, I'm with you. Nothing. We don't see any of that. Joseph at one point said to, you know, the butler who was going to be elevated back into the kingdom, when the butler was put in prison and he interpreted the dream, said, listen, when you get back in your position, don't forget about me. Guy gets out there, what does he do? He immediately forgets. And Joseph's just sitting there in prison. Nothing. Abandonment. You feel separated. There are times in our lives where we pray and we feel the heavens are as brass. We can't get through. And the prayers just seem to bounce off the walls, and the enemy's standing there just saying, you know, go, you just don't, it doesn't make any sense for you to pray. God's not listening. He doesn't care. He doesn't know what you're going through. You are all alone. And can I tell you today, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God knows exactly what you're going through. I don't know why God delays, but there are times it happens. There are times it takes time for the answer to come and for the answer to be fully known and to come about, so that then you have that moment where you say, ah, now I understand. Now I know. Now the answer has come. I don't know why God does that, but you know what? God's not on our timetable, so don't begin to think that somehow God has abandoned you, because when you think that and you begin to feel that, there is a hopelessness that overtakes the soul. God will never, ever abandon his people. His promises are true in his word that he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not give up on you. You do not have to doubt it. You do not have to be afraid. God will be there for you. What it is that we can't fully comprehend about what Jesus experienced is something that's difficult for me to explain, and already I've touched on it. We don't fully comprehend the kind of abandonment that he felt. Because he was perfect, he was holy, he was the Son of God, he was both fully God and fully man, we can't really fully identify with that. Because we're as human as they come. We got all of our problems, all of our issues. We've got all of our dysfunctions. We've got all of our difficulties, all of our pains, all of our shortcomings, our failings, and yes, at times, our sins. We've got all of those things. Jesus didn't have that. He was human, but he was also fully God at the same time. Theologically, we can only discuss it and imagine what it must have been like for a perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God to have the sin that you've committed, all the things that you've done in the past that were before Christ, all the things that maybe you did even after Christ. After you gave your heart to the Lord, there isn't anybody. We don't become perfect after we come to Jesus. I wish that were the case, but it doesn't happen that way. All the things that we have done that have been against his word and against his law, and all of that has now been placed in this moment upon Jesus. It is a picture of how the sinner really feels when it comes to an understanding or a concept of God. That he is far away from me, that he is gone, that he is not there, or that he is not interested in me. I don't know if it was in that moment that Jesus all of a sudden felt this separation from the Father because of the sin that was upon him, but it seems very, very likely that in that moment he was feeling like all of a sudden this relationship that I have had and enjoyed as a human but the Son of God at the same time while walking on this earth, something has changed. Something's different. And I got to tell you, he is not crying out a cry of, wow, this is interesting. He's crying out, I don't like this. The sinner doesn't know at times that they don't like it, but the darkness and the hopelessness that they're walking in, they are crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because they don't know how to reach him. They don't know how to get back to him. This is why it's so important for each and every one of us to make sure that we have a reason, we can give a reason for the hope that we have within us, because it's up to us to be the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he looked at his disciples and he said, you are the light of the world. When we understand what it is that God wants us to do as believers, he doesn't want us to just go about our business. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but let's not discuss that. Yeah, I'm a believer, but, you know, we'll talk about sports. I'm a believer. Well, let's talk about our cultures. I'm a believer, but let's talk about what kind of work you do. You get in there, you get the door open. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when God opens the door, you need to walk through it and you need to proclaim him. Don't be ashamed, don't be afraid, because he's opening the door for a purpose. Because there is a sinner there somewhere who is saying, I feel this separation from God. I don't like it. The conversation might all of a sudden lead to religion from them. And what they're saying is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you can come to them and you can say, he hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't given up on you. There is a hope. There is a future that you have. Oh, brothers and sisters, what Jesus felt theologically in that moment, this mystical relationship that he had and has with the Father, I can't fully get my mind around it. But in that moment, all of a sudden, the weight of the world, the weight of the sin of the world was upon him. And that, brothers and sisters, causes separation. You know that if you have ever given into sin and you've given into it willfully, you've done it, and you know you did it, and you said, well, you know what? I'm going to have to repent. I'm going to have to come back to Jesus after this. I'm going to have to just come to him and repent. You know that when you do that thing, you all of a sudden, you feel this intense guilt in your heart, and it's a separation, as it were. Brothers and sisters, in that moment, Jesus felt what that feels like. He knows, if there is anybody who knows what the sinner feels like, it's Jesus. And it's not because he sinned. He just knows how it feels to feel that separation from God. You see, the big issue with sin is that, you know, there's, you know, unfortunately we have our categories of sins, right? They're the big ones, medium ones. Those are the little misdemeanors. And then there's the small ones, the little ones. We've got our categories. There are no categories. Scripture, there doesn't seem to be any categories. According to the Scripture, sin is sin. Sin separates from God. The only way that anybody can come to a place where they no longer feel that sense of separation from God is to recognize that God has provided the way to bridge the gap. That God has provided a way for them to come to a place of repentance and come to faith and trust in him. I love the fact that in Scripture we find in so many different places where when we come to Jesus and we come to that place of faith and trust in what it is that he did on the cross for our sins, that the Bible lets us know that God does not treat us according to what our sins deserve. Have you ever, I'm just curious how human you are, have you ever, somebody offends you, hurts you, how many of you ever have gotten them back? Oh, I wasn't supposed to see the hands that were raised. How many of you ever just gonna get them? You know the phrase, I don't get mad, I get even, and you get even. And somehow it doesn't feel as good as you thought it would feel. Oh, it might feel good for a minute, but not over the long haul. Because, you know, it's just so unlike God. You see, God says, I'm not going to deal with you according to what your sins deserve. Why are you going to deal with somebody else according to what their sins deserve? Why are you going to go and get that person back for gossiping about you, though it was wrong, and though they had no right to say what they said? How are you going to do that? Why? What good is it going to do? He said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. You leave it in the hands of the Lord and let the Lord deal with it. God, trust me, God's going to deal with it one day. And don't sit back and say, get him, God. Oh, God, you get him. You know? No. Say, Lord, move on their hearts that they would repent. Move on their hearts that they change, that they would become like you. Not like me, because I'm not enough like you, but they would be more like you. How about we start to pray that way? Because, brothers and sisters, in the end, that's really what it means to forgive. We go back to what Jesus spoke about, forgiveness on the cross. When he spoke the words of forgiveness, he wasn't on the same time on the other side of the mouth saying, Lord God, Father, I pray you get them. Oh, forgive them. Get them. Forgive them. Can't pray that kind of prayer. You know, blessing and cursing can't come from the same spring. You can't put salt water in a fresh water and then all of a sudden say, "Ooh, that's fresh." It's salty. It just messes the whole stuff. Jesus felt this incredible sense of abandonment, but he did it so that you and I could know how much he really understands us, understands our human condition, and he understands the sinner. We, brothers and sisters, have to be the light of the world. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was doing one thing that he had spoken to Nicodemus about. He had said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Brothers and sisters, there is still nothing like the cross. There is still nothing like the preaching of the cross. There is nothing like what Jesus did on the cross. You look, we got all kinds of churches today. They're trying to do all kinds of things. And listen, believe me, we have our deficiencies. I'm no expert, clearly. If I were an expert, I suppose we would be in a bigger building. We would have much greater things going on. I don't know that, but all I know is this. I know that the message cannot change to fit the culture. The culture has to come under the message. We cannot change what it is that the Word of God says in order to somehow appease a culture. Culture is not above the cross. The cross is always above the culture, because there was somebody, if there is any culture that feels abandoned, I got to tell you, it's the one we're living in. It's the time that we're living in. There is a sense all across the country, a hopelessness that young people are growing up with. And why should they care? Why? Because they haven't come to know the one who understands how they feel yet. This is why we've got to lift up Jesus. We've got to say there is somebody who knows exactly what it feels like to be abandoned, and he can help you because he can change you and he can mold you and shape you from the inside out. We have a job to do, folks. It always comes back to what Jesus did for us on the cross now leads us to a place where we have to do something for him. We've got to be a light to the world that we live in. I know at times it's difficult. I know at times it's hard. But I believe with all my heart that what God has for each and every one of us is he has good things in store. He desires to give you and I a sense of purpose, a sense of hope, a sense of meaning, a sense of life. And brothers and sisters, it can only come when we begin to put our own baggage of abandonment aside and say, "Lord, you know what it's like. You know how I feel today. So, Lord, I'm going to trust in you to minister healing to my life." Some of us need healing, not physically. We don't need healing, you know, mentally. We need healing in our hearts. We need healing emotionally. We need God to pour in that balm of Gilead that will change and minister healing in our lives. We felt abandoned from somewhere along the way, and we haven't given it over to the Lord yet because we kind of hang on to it like it's a blanket to pull over ourselves. It's a protection that we have. God says it's time to get rid of the protection. I'm all the protection you're ever going to need. Let's stand to our feet right now.